All right, back to Philadelphia. Bring in extra bags. Andy Baggerly, good morning. Good afternoon for you. How are you?
I'm great, Marty. How are you?
Good. How was the trip to the White House? I'm anxious to hear your reaction.
Oh, it was, you know what? It was very similar to the first year because it was in the East Room as opposed to being on the South Lawn. I think the South Lawn was neat. It was a cooler environment, a cooler backdrop. Sun splash day and everything in 2013. Jeff Francoeur, current Philly, got to enjoy it. He was front and center in the team photo. Odd little sublight of history there. But the East Room, I think, was cool because for me, as a member of the press, we're sort of roped off in the back. And we were way back there on the South Lawn. So the president was, basically on the other side of a football sideline away from us. Whereas in the East Room, he's walking through the middle of the room and he's only about 20 or 30 feet away. So that was pretty cool, just to say you're a little closer to the commander-in-chief, a leader of the free world. And of course, even though it's something that a lot of guys have done before and a few people skipped this time, I don't think anybody really minds giving up the off day. And, I'm sure it's a little less thrilling for people than it was a couple years ago. But don't tell that to Tim Hudson. It was his first time. And I think any time that, Bruce Bochy gets to talk to the president, he's super appreciative of it. So it was pretty neat. And it never really loses its luster, I guess you could say.
Yeah, it seemed like everybody had a great time. All right, let's move ahead to the series here. Hunter Pence, tendonitis in his wrist, a bone bruise, MRI. What's your take on the severity of the injury to Hunter Pence?
Well, he called it tendonitis, and that's sort of the catch-all that I think players used for decades before we had all this imagery. Now you don't hear about tendonitis. You hear about guys going to see Dr. Andrews. So he called it tendonitis. Bruce Bochy did kind of let it slip that he's got a bone bruise. Now, the bone bruise would kind of lead you to believe that maybe it's a little more related to the fractured forearm than Hunter let on. He said he wasn't sure if it's related or not. But we know that he's had a lot of problems with that wrist. That was really what took so long for him to come back, was getting strength back in that wrist. And he jammed it pretty good while making that great catch on McCutcheon. And, Bochy's saying that Sunday at the earliest is when you could see Pence. I have a feeling that they might just let him go through the whole series, take the other off day on Monday, and then hope that he's okay for New York. They don't want to rush him back.
Yeah.
But Hunter, he's going to want to get in there as soon as he feels he can contribute. So,
yeah, the pictures.
He hasn't started swinging a bat. We'll see what he feels like when he starts swinging a bat.
All right. Well, again, against the Phillies, and, I watched him play last night, and my goodness, the team is decimated. They got a couple of young players. The catcher I like. I like the third baseman. But this is a different Phillies team. And you get Bumgarner today against Gonzalez, Lindskum last night, and you get Vogelsong against Sean O'Sullivan tomorrow. Andy and I know baseball is a funny game, but if the Giants lose one over this weekend, you got to explain to me how that's going to happen.
Well, yeah, certainly there. As we saw with the Pirates series, it's probably the best three pitchers that they faced, 1-2-3 in a series this season, and it was sort of a litmus test. How are they going to really stack up against a quality opponent, one of the best teams in the NL at home? It didn't go so well, obviously. But you know what? These are the games that you got to win. And it doesn't matter who the wins come against. You just got to get those 88, 90, 92, whatever it takes to get in the postseason. And if you lose three to the Pirates, then maybe you need to win three from the Phillies to balance the ledger out. And you're right. This is a team that they should beat. And the first goal coming in was get rid of that losing streak. And they did that yesterday. And now you try to just knock down the series with a win today. And if you do that, behind Bumgarner, good chance of that, then you get greedy and you try to sweep them. So that's the way they'll look at it.
Well, that's the way it should be. All right, Bumgarner today and Severino Gonzalez. If you're a left-handed hitter, you're running to the park right now. 15 for 28 lefties against them. So we'll see how – it's a limited sample, but we'll see how that goes. Hey, what did you think of Lindskum last night?
Well, he's pitching in a smaller ballpark. He made a couple mistakes that got hit out of the park. Ryan Howard's a guy that, even when Lindskum was in his Cy Young form, Ryan Howard gave him fits. It's his fifth home run in 40 career at-bats. And here Ryan's having a nice resurgent season. Might find himself in another uniform sometime soon. Maybe the Cardinals. A lot of speculation about that. I don't think he really felt comfortable at any point. He didn't look very comfortable out there. But he gave him a chance to win. And I thought he said it best. He said, I wanted to give them a chance to win. It turns out they gave me a chance to win with obviously Buster Posey hitting that homer just in time while he was still the pitcher of record to get him a win. So, you know, I think it's one of those that you take and you pocket and you you're happy with it. You were able to rest the bullpen a little bit, and another time when you throw the ball great, maybe get snake bit and lose 2-1, then you reflect back on a game like this and you realize that it usually does average out in this game.
All right, now Casey McGee is back. Now Duffy last night, of course, gets a hit to start the game. You know, to start his first at bat, then he lines a home run. Just tremendous for him. What's Casey McGee going to do here?
Well, it was sort of interesting. In the pregame with Bruce Bochy, he mentioned that third base will be sort of a day-by-day thing, and he wants to start McGee once in this series, as you mentioned. And then after the game, Matt Duffy has a fantastic game. He hits a homer to the opposite field. He singles ahead of Maxwell's homer. And then he goes into the stands to catch a foul fly in the ninth inning of a one-run game. So definitely made an impact on both ends. And Bruce Bochy termed it after the game that Duffy will get the lion's share, with the words he used, at third base. And I think that as long as Duffy keeps contributing, he'll be the guy who's out there. What's neat about it, though, is that, you know, a lot of young players could have a veteran come up who could, you know, maybe threaten their everyday job and start to press a little bit, but you don't really see that with Duffy. And I asked him about it, and he said, you know what, I'm glad Casey's here, not just personally for Casey, but because it's another set of eyes on me. And I'm learning a new position, third base, and he's helped me a lot. And having him here, he'll continue to help me. And that reflects well on McGee also, because he's not rooting, you know, for basically the guy who's trying to take his job to fail. He's trying to help him along because he knows the team is stronger because of that. And I just think that's the environment that you have with a winning team that I think we can take for granted very easily, because it doesn't exist everywhere. It doesn't exist in a lot of places where they're not winning. And you get some backbiting, or you get, you know, veterans sniping at young players, or people being selfish about their roles. And, you know, I think that's an environment that Bruce Bochy starts with him and his coaching staff.
Boy, Andy Baggerly with us, just taking a few moments on his way to the ballpark. Andy, you know, every season has a story, and, you know, we see the story develop, and I'm starting to believe that the story of this season, part of it for the Giants, is up the middle with Brandon Crawford and Joe Panik. And you say, all right, Panik's a sophomore, they're going to catch up with him. Well, Crawford has, you know, been stuck at 249 for his whole career. And all of a sudden you take a step back and just take a look, and, you know, we're at game, what, 55 or 56 now. And Panik has got another hitting streak going. He's on base all the time. Crawford's going to, you know, on a pace to driving 100 runs. And this middle of the infield for me, other than Johnny Peralta and Kelton Wong, this is the premier middle of the infield in baseball right now.
Yeah, they have more extra base hits than any middle infield in baseball. Giants looked that up. And you could even include Duffy and Belt in that mix. And you look at a homegrown infield, I don't think it's quite the, you know, Garvey, say, Lopes and Russell for the Dodgers that played together for 10 years, but these guys could play together for quite a while. And they're all homegrown. They're all drafted. I think it's a nice thing to reflect on with the draft coming up Monday. And you look at where these guys went. Those four guys, there was one first rounder, and that was Joe Panik. And the Giants were pretty well panned for taking him. They thought, a lot of scouts thought he was an overdraft and didn't have the tools to be a first rounder. And then you got Brandon Crawford, who's a guy who the Giants were opportunistic that he was available in the fourth round when his stock had slid after maybe not the greatest junior year at UCLA, but they trusted their earlier reports that they had on him. And obviously he's, you know, maybe the best shortstop in the National League right now. Brandon Belt, the guy who was a fifth round pick that they saw something in his swing. They realized he was a project. They'd have to overhaul a few things, and took a little time, but he's certainly making his presence felt as one of the better offensive first basemen in the league right now. And then obviously Duffy, a guy who they drafted because they just liked the way he played the game and all of his tools played up. And it looks like they might have found an everyday third baseman, you know, down in the 20th round, 24th round, wherever it was he went. So, a good thought that you don't necessarily need to have one of the first 10 overall picks every year, to find players that can be everyday difference makers. Of course, they're great when you get them, and if you get them and you don't miss, like the Buster Posey, Madison Bumgarner, Tim Lincecum, then you really put yourself in a position to have some franchise pillars, and we've seen what these guys have been able to accomplish when you have a few of those players.
Yeah, I like the story. I like it. I like the Panic Crawford story. It's gone well beyond what I thought could happen this year, and you know we're in a significant part of the season so far. You mentioned a couple of things. One, the injuries to this ball club. I'm going to let you go in a second. Matt Cain is going to pitch at Richmond. I assume the team is back east and he's with them, and that was probably the reason they chose Richmond. But this isn't he ahead of schedule? I mean, this is only, what, June 5th or so. He must be up, you know, feeling pretty good.
Well, so what's kind of cool about it is they're starting Cain's rehab clock officially by having him start at Richmond because his previous start didn't count. It was in a camp game in Arizona. And like you said, that's more a function of the geography involved here, the fact the team is on the East Coast. So as a pitcher, he can be on rehab assignment for 30 days maximum. And if he takes the entire 30 days, then his clock would be up on July 9th. And July 9th, what is that? Well, that's the one-year anniversary of his last start in the big leagues last season. And then he was shut down after the All-Star break and then the elbow locked up, and he needed to have the bone chips removed and everything from there. So, I think his goal all along was to be able to pitch before the All-Star break and try to make it back by then. And as long as he doesn't have any setbacks, then, they feel like that's possible for him. What the need's going to be in the rotation at that point, remains to be seen. It's always start to start week to week, and you evaluate where you are. But, they feel pretty good about where Matt Cain is at. They know that he's got a lot of ramping up to do. He's going to be the competition's going to get more fierce, and he's going to have more adrenaline. He's going to be doing things, pushing his arm, his body a little bit more every time. So, they're going to have to evaluate each time out, make sure he doesn't have any setbacks or soreness. But if things do go well and they've, properly built him up, then they feel that he could be ready to pitch and maybe beat that one-year anniversary date of his last start in the big leagues.
Boy, interesting to see him. As you say, as you get up the ladder here, you got to start throwing major league pitches with major league intensity, a lot different than throwing bullpen. So we'll see what happens. Hey, what about Peavy? Where is he at now?
Jake is now on track to resume his rehab assignment. He's making another start. I have to tell you, I'm a little embarrassed. I don't remember exactly off the top of my head.
I think it's Tuesday. I think it's coming up this week.
When it is. Yeah, it's in a couple of days for Sacramento. He's going to return there. So
yeah, good.
And the words Bruce Bochy chose was that PB's turned a little bit of a corner with his back. So, he's got a lot of stuff going on in there. You wonder how much of that he pitched through when he really struggled with the Red Sox last year. But you know what? They were able to get him right and healthy and good enough to be a pretty good pitcher in this rotation, for 2 months in the second half. And I think that's sort of what everyone is looking at now. Just get him in position where he can compete and maybe be that guy that he was in the second half last year. But I think everyone is acknowledging that he's probably not going to be 100%. He's going to be pitching through some limitations, some discomfort.
All right. Hey, I appreciate you being on. It's amazing. As we go through this month, this is the third month, the stories of the team, the stories of the league, everything is starting to take shape now. And it's interesting, the injuries to the pitchers, how they come back. As you say, all of a sudden you got two pitchers back in July, and they haven't pitched much. You got a fresh arm. Then you get the young kids doing the thing. This is going to be an interesting season. So I like the way the stories are progressing, and I appreciate having you on this morning.
Oh, of course. Of course, Marty. Thank you.
All right. Thanks, Andy. All right. That is Andy Baggerly. Extra Bags, B-A-G-G-S, with two Gs on Twitter. And I always appreciate having him on. And